Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Today, we are here
in the Breakthrough Broadcast Studio. We're all over the world, and we want you listeners to know that God is in control. Yes, to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome our radio audience to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are live coming from the beautiful and bold city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God gets the glory and where he always will get the honor. Jesus said, he said, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men, not some men, but he will draw all men unto him. Therefore, the Breakthrough Broadcast will always lift up that great and mighty name of Jesus. Yes, he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So we want you at this time to get ready to receive of the Lord. You have time even now. Why don't you get ready and call that friend, that neighbor, and tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. And if they need a breakthrough in their life, God is ready to give them the breakthrough that they need on today. I don't care what it may be. I want you to know that God is able. And as we said before, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is nothing too hard for God to do. And at this time, I would like to take this opportunity to let you know that each guest that's on our program today, they are men and women of God that God is using to make a difference in your life. They have that anointing. They have that power. They're able to hear from God. So why don't we take this opportunity at this time to introduce to you the panelists on the Breakthrough Broadcast on today. First, we would like to introduce Ms. Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Jervine Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, Pastor Carlos Lampkin, and Reverend Tony Smith. To God be the glory for the great and the mighty things he is doing. And I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Well, let's get right into our broadcast today. The topic for our discussion is celebrate God's justice. And we would like to let you know that the central truth will be we can rejoice in God's power to judge and to save. The study text will come from Psalm, the 68th chapter, verse through the 35th verse. Let's use for the key verse today Psalm 68 and 20. And it reads, he that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongs the issue from death. And then it's taken from the King James Version, and I like to read the NIV, which says, our God is a God who saves from the sorrow. Lord God, come, escape from death, which is the NIV Version. And we look to know today that we're going to have different panelists, and they're going to come on, and they're going to be talking to you about the revelation that God has given them. And we have certain today, as always, we have different subtopics that we're going to be discussing as well. And the first subtopic will be rejoice in justice. Rejoice in justice. And rejoice in justice will come from one of our panelists, which is Miss Helen Watson. And she will tell us how to rejoice in God's justice. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Watson to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Praise God. I'd like to thank you for inviting me on again this week. I'd like to welcome the panelists and our listening audience. And I'll be speaking on rejoice in God's justice. That's coming from Psalm 68, 1 through 6. And it says, first verse, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, which is the Lord. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sitteth the solitary in families. He bringeth up those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Here it's talking about rejoicing. We should rejoice in God through everything that we go through. Even when our enemies or after us, we should still rejoice in God. No matter what is going on in our life, God wants us to be, he wants us to be confident that he is our deliverer, that have every confidence in him that he's going to bring us out of every situation. We should not be worried about what's going on to the left or to the right of us, but we should be looking just to him. We should be praying. We should have that confidence in knowing that he is there. He never leaves us or he never forsakes us. This is what we're talking about in verses 1 through 6. Now, David is saying that let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. God will, he will put your enemies on the run. He will scatter the plans of the enemy. If you have that connection with him and you know him to be God, to reign in your life, to be your Savior, your God, your everything, he wants us to be confident in knowing that he will get the job done, whatever it is. All of us have had some things in our lives that we need God to take care of, some enemies that we thought we just could not shake, or some situations in our life that we thought we just could not overcome. God would not have us to be worried. To worry is to sin, and we don't want to sin. We want to give God our all in all. We want to give him everything that we entrust everything to him. We don't want to leave anything out. When we trust in God, it tells him that we have faith in him, and we should put all of our faith wholeheartedly into God and what he'll do for us. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my strength, and we should always be confident. It says, the Lord is my strength and my life. To whom shall I be afraid? And it talks about the enemies and my foes come upon me to eat my flesh. They stumble and they fail. So that's telling us that God is forever there. He's always there. He will let nothing come upon you to destroy you. The Bible also tells us that when we go through things, God is always going to be there. He doesn't care what it is. Even when we get in our worst situations, and I can think of some situations that I've been in, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, I don't know where this is, how this is going to end up, where is it going to go. But God tells me to give it to him. And when you give it to him, when you fully give it to him, he'll work it out. When you take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. And you give it to him, and I go on about my business, and before I know it, that thing is taken care of. That thing that I was worried about that was so big, looked so minute, right, after he finished taking care of it, after he puts his hands on it. If you take your hands off, give it to him, and let him do it, everything will be taken care of. He wants us to be confident in knowing that he is our God, and there is nothing that he cannot do. He moved mountains. He can move mountains, the biggest mountains and the smallest of the small. Anything that you need from God, he wants us to be confident in knowing he will take care of every little thing. I don't care what people do to you, how they talk about you. You put it in God's hands. He is our provider. He is our protector. God wants us to be solved, everything to be put in his hands. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to go and try to take care of anything. He doesn't. It says in the Bible, it also says, fret not because of evildoers. That means he has this. Give it to him. He doesn't care what people are. He knows people that are going to talk about you. He knows they're going to do you wrong. He knows that you're going to have situations that you just cannot seem to overcome. He already knows that before it happens. He already knows. So why not depend on him? Why not give it to him? We make a mess of things when we try to do things ourselves, when we try to take care of people ourselves. You know, people are going to do you wrong. Me going through a divorce not too many years ago, a couple of years ago, it was a horrible thing for me, a horrible experience. But you know something? I left it all up to God. I left a lot of things. I lost a lot of things, but I did not care because I knew that God was going to bring me up and he was going to bring me out. He was not going to let me stay in that place. That was not where my life ended. That was really where my life began. He let me know that, and I put all my trust in him. Coming from a home in North Carolina that sat on acres and acres of land to stay in one room with my sister, that was not a good feeling. I just thought I was just overcome. I just thought it was too much for me, but God let me know in my quiet place, in that one little room that I had to go to, in that quiet place, that he was going to give me justice for everything that I lost, for everything that I let go, for everything that I put in his hands. He was going to take care of it. He was going to give me more than what I had, and I trusted him to do that, and he has proven himself over and over and over to me that he will take care of me. He has taken care of me through everything. So I have to be confident. I am confident in knowing that God is my sole provider. Whatever I need, I don't care what it is. I don't put my hands on it. I have had situations where people try to do all kinds of things to me, and I know we all experience that because we do and we are as long as we live. But if we let God take care of it and keep our hands off of it, he will fight our battles. He always do. He scatters the plans of the enemy. He's not going to let us go through blind. He's not going to let the enemy overtake us. He never does. When David, we see all through Psalms in David's life, running from Saul. David could have killed Saul. A couple of times he could have killed Saul, laid his hands on him while he was sleeping. But what did he do? He left it in God's hands. He left it for God to take care of, and he became king because that was his destiny. He did not harm one hair on his head because God was going to get justice for him. He did get justice for him. And he walked into his destiny. And sometimes we have to do the same thing. We cannot look to the left. We cannot look to the right. We have to look straight ahead and keep our eyes on God. He's going to be our protector. He's going to give us the justice that we need in his time. Sometimes we get in a hurry, just like the enemy gets in a hurry. We get in a hurry, and we try to take care of God's business. We cannot do that. He wants us to be totally reliant on him, knowing that he's going to do. He has a plan. And it's his plan. It's not our plan. It's his plan. We have to play by his game. And when we do that, we always come out on top. The devil cannot overtake us. He cannot sneak up on us. God always lets you know. If you have a relationship with him, he's going to always let you know the devil is near. He's going to let you see him, but you're not to say, don't ever let the devil know that you see him. Don't ever let him know that you see him. Just pray and put it in his hands, and God will take care of it. He gives justice for everything. I don't care what it is. And most of us have been hurt. I've had a lot of hurt, and most of us have experienced hurt in our life. All of us have. But God always brings, he always brings us out on top. He heals the heart. He heals the scars on the heart, and he takes care of what needs to be taken care of. No weapon formed against us to prosper. None. God tells us that. And in the Bible, it even says in over in Isaiah 57, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We know that. God tells us that. So if God's word tells us that, we should know that we're going to be taken care of. We should know that he's going to reign justice in every situation that we have. All we have to do is put it before him. All we have to do is lay it at his feet, not touch it, not give it to him and take it back, give it to him and take it back. When you try to do it yourself, you make a mess of it, and there it is. You have to do this thing all over again. Your mind is in a tizzy. You don't know what's going on. Give it to God and walk in peace. He wants us to walk in peace. When we give it to him, we have a peace about it. When you totally depend on God, you have a peace about it. You can walk in peace. You don't worry about it because you know it's going to be taken care of. And over in 1 Corinthians 15, it says the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. Even in death, death cannot even reign over us. He gives us justice even in death. So we know God is real. He's sovereign. He doesn't need our help. And we should put everything in his hands. Back to you, Dr. McCourt.
Praise the Lord. I am such and so agree with what the Lord has given and what God is speaking to his people. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. The word of God says, in all thy ways, not in some, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And I do believe, and I hear even as Ms. Watson was speaking to the radio audience, and you must listen today. The Bible says to fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, but they shall soon be cut down as a grass, wither as a green herb. But trust in the Lord, and one of my favorite things is on that verse, is to do good. And that's what God wants people to do, even through the things that they go through. Justice belongs to God. When we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the trials and the things that they had to go through, they went through because they went through trusting in God. They had no doubt. They stood on God's word that God was God and that God was God all by himself. So God was able to deliver him. They was able to deliver them out of that fire of furnace. And we began even to think about Ruth and her position, and she and Naomi, they had to trust in God. Yes, they was in a desolate place. Yes, they was in a hard place, but yet they had to put their trust and their confidence in God. And many of us have been through different trials. Many of us have gone through many tribulations, but yet that doesn't change who God is. I believe that God is able to move on our behalf, even as that scripture came out in Isaiah 54 and 17, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And again, the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs unto God. So we need to trust in God's justice. And I believe that our topic tells us about rejoicing. We need to rejoice, and we need to what? To be glad in God. We need to celebrate God. We need to rejoice. We need to be glad in him. We need to delight in him. We need to celebrate daily his goodness and his righteousness. And I just thank God that we have a Father, our Father, which art in heaven, that he will be there for us and that he will move in every area of your life, to the sickness, diseases, or whatever it may be. Ms. Watson was telling us some of the things that she has encountered, and even with the doctor at one time that didn't even know what was going on in her life and even wanted to give a bad report. But yet God was God. She trusted in God. She believed God, that God was going to bring her out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. We're rejoicing today. We're rejoicing in God's justice. Yes, radio audience, we are coming from Psalms, the 68th chapter, first through the sixth verse today, and we have another warrior that is getting ready to come, another conqueror, one that is lifting up a banner of the Lord that's ready to call about God's justice. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast, Reverend Tony Smith, and he is going to come, and he's going to take this time in order to talk about God's justice. Rejoice in God's justice. Reverend Tony Smith, again, welcome to the broadcast.
Bless God. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and the fellow listeners, and all of them that are on the panel board this afternoon. Listen, we come to rejoice in God's favor. We come to rejoice in God's goodness. We come to rejoice in God's justice. This evening, I want to challenge all the listeners at this time. I want to bring you up the park to what God is really saying today. Amen. I thank him for using my sister. She hit on a lot of key points today because what she declared was her retinal state or her retinal being in this time. I come to let you know that the enemy will rob some of us of our joy. And we got to understand something. In order for us to rejoice, we must first obtain joy. Okay? Because if we don't have joy, then we have nothing to look forward in the future. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, he said, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Why did Paul say it again? Because Paul made a statement. He said, listen, I understand that you're rejoicing right now because you understand that God has justified you, amen, only through faith. So we have to understand that if we don't obtain this joy within us, because Christ found it so necessary to tell the 11 disciples, he said, listen, when I leave you, may your joy be full to what I'm going to do. So I've come to let you know today in Psalm 68, what David was saying is that we need to deposit something. Because if we don't deposit anything in our spirit, then when it's time to withdraw from our spirit, you withdraw on an empty base. You withdraw on nothing, no strength, no clarity. So watch this here. Come with me in scripture. I want to focus at the key verse today with what the Spirit of God had given me in my spirit. Verse 3. It says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Not before man, but before God. Because first of all, God has to know what you have inside. Because that same joy you offer up to God, your adversary, the enemy, cannot conquer you, cannot take over you, because when he comes to rob, kill, and destroy, he cannot take the house unless the strong man be first bound. So because of the joy that you have obtained in God, listen, we have to fight for our joy. You have to fight the enemy for your joy because you got to understand the very things that Christ gave it to you, they are precious and sacred. They are heavenly. So we are watchmen over our own souls, not only them that are our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but we're watchmen over our own soul. So what Paul was saying, that same joy that you receive from Christ Jesus, he said, guard it with your heart. And I come to let you know today that somebody out there in radio land who are listening today, you're going through something, but God told me to tell you that you need to guard that joy, that same joy you received on Sunday, guard it all week and work at it. Amen. See, and watch this here. Not only will you rejoice before God, but he said, let them rejoice exceedingly. Exceedingly means an ongoing process. Amen. Don't let it only be for Saturday, but let it be for Sunday, because it's something that God has imparted in you that your mama needs. It's something that God has imparted in you that your father needs, and somebody in your family, somebody on your job, because a lot of people don't understand that when they rejoice, what it does not only to God, but to them that are standing by and that are listening. So today, we want to go forth also in verse 5. Now watch this. This thing really blessed my spirit. He said, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, a father. Now what does a father do? A father gives substance to his children. That means if somebody understands that you have a father, that means they can't do nothing to you because they fear the very presence of your father. Because a father is a protector, and not only a protector, but a provider. So the enemy understands that as long as you obtain your joy and you're steady rejoicing, ING, that means an ongoing matter. But I want us to look at that word rejoice for closely here now. It's just not a word. We're going to break this word down for you today because re is separate from joicing. So re meaning to return back to. So what God is saying, that you return back to the promises that he's already given you. And by doing that, you can rejoice, because I assure you what's going to carry you through the week is what God promised you through his word. and really that God has promised you these things through his word, that is going to cause you to understand that God has justified you. You're waiting on something. You're waiting on God to give you a breakthrough. This is 2012, hallelujah. This is 2012 this year. You're looking for God to do something different. You're looking for a better prayer life. You're looking for a better study life. You're looking to step out and let God be glorified through your life. So I'm encouraging you today, no matter who you are and where you are right now, no matter what place you are, I don't care if you lost your job, I come to let you know that you must start rejoicing right now. While the Spirit is among you, while the Spirit is nigh unto you, he has told me to speak out to you and to tell you, listener, rejoice in the Lord and be a conqueror through his justice. Understand this, that by faith he has already justified you. You got to keep on pressing. The widow kept on pressing until the judge did something. But she kept on pressing. She kept on pressing. You got to weary your situation because your help is right around the corner. Your help is right around the corner. So nevertheless, whoever you are, understand that your joy is fulfilled through your rejoicing. Your joy is an instant moment. It's an instant situation. It's something that happens instantly, spontaneously. It happens right then. But you got to carry out through the word. Through the week, amen, and that's rejoicing in the Lord. May God add a blessing and his power upon you, amen, to every listener. You, Dr. McCoy, thank you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Smith, for sharing with us again on rejoice. Rejoice in God's justice. Yes, we must rejoice in the justice, not of man, but the justice of God. And we would like to reach out to our radio audience, and if there is anyone would like to comment on this question, a reflection rather, I'm going to put this out there, and I'd like to ask, how confident, listen to me now, how confident are you in God's desire to bring about justice on your behalf? Shall I ask you that again? How confident are you in God's desire to bring about justice on your behalf? We're going to go to Ms. Watson, and we're going to ask her that question. If anyone would like to make any comments concerning that question there, a statement, you're certainly welcome to do so, and we'll give you a minute to respond on that. Ms. Watson.
Amen, Dr. McCoy. How confident am I in God's desire to bring the justice on my behalf? I'm totally confident in God to bring justice on my behalf. There's a lot of situations that I've been through in my life, and continue to go through and will continue to go through as my life goes on. But I'm confident in knowing that God is right there for me, everything that I need, everything. He's my provider. He's my protector. He's everything to me. Even when I got sick in the hospital, I mean, death has no victory. When the doctor was telling me this and telling me that, I was confident in knowing that God was going to bring me up, that he was going to deliver me. The devil thought he had something going, but God delivered me, not even death has any victory and for God's people. So I am very confident in knowing that God is going, he's going to bring me out of anything and everything that I go through. All I have to do is trust him. I have that connection with him that I can pray and I can believe and use my faith to know that he's going to bring me out of everything, and he's going to, I'm going to get victory in everything that I go through. There is nothing in my mind that tells me otherwise. I stand on God's word, and when I read his word, if his word says it, it stands. So I know that God is going to do everything that he says his word will do. He will do. He cannot lie. He's God. He cannot lie. So I have to stand on his word and know that God is going to bring me out of everything, anything and everything. I don't even care what it is. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's disease. I don't care whatever it is, the loss of a spouse. I mean, divorce, anything and everything, God is always right there. And I know that in my heart because I have a connection with him. I believe his word. I love him. I trust him. So I believe with all confidence that he's going to bring me out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, for commenting on that question. We have someone from Houston, Texas, that that's, I believe it's called in. And if you would like to also to take a minute to comment on the statement that was asked, I certainly would like to read it again. How confident are you in God's desire to bring about justice on your behalf? It's not our justice, it's God justice. How confident are you in God's desire to bring about justice on your behalf? Welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast. Caller? Are you on the caller? At this time, we're going to move on, and I think there may be, we'll try with that caller a little later, and we're going to go into next topic, which is rejoice in God's salvation. Rejoice in God's salvation. And we're so happy, as always, to have with us Pastor Eric Hooper. And Pastor Hooper is going to be coming from Psalm, the 68th chapter, 18 through the 22nd verse. Again, Pastor Hooper, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and God bless you all, Dr. McCoy, and listeners as well as the panelists. I'll be coming from Psalm 68, verses 18 through 22, and the topic is rejoice in God's salvation. And let me read the scriptures first. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongs the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Amen. And we're talking about, once again, rejoicing in God's salvation. And as you see in verse 22, the Lord speaks and he declares that the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. And when we know that when God says something, God doesn't lie. So whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do it. But we know that God is not a man that he should lie. And so it doesn't matter in whatever situation we're in. And also, let me go back before I go any further to verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And God is our complete and total benefit. God is sovereign. You know, God is the creator of all things. He holds everything in his hands. He is all-powerful. He's all-seeing. And he is all-knowing. So one thing we can do as believers, if we're believers, then we should really believe and allow our belief to really be seen and allow to be evident in our lives by rejoicing, because our total and complete hope is in God. And if God has spoken certain things, as the scripture says, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, then therefore you can rest assured that God wants to give you what he wants to give you. And God only wants to bless you and to establish his covenant with you. So the thing about it is, when it seems like things are down, or when it seems like we've gone into a pit, or just remember that when God leads us in those places, as it talks about in Psalms 23, it says that the Lord is my shepherd, and the shepherd leads the sheep. And by we being followers of the shepherd, therefore sometimes the Lord will lead us into low places just to get us into that next high place. It's the thing about it. Sometimes when we look around and we may see things may not appear to what God has promised us, it's only because we're not where God has promised to take us yet. We're on the way, we're on the journey. So what we need to begin to do is to learn how in every situation. Give God praise. We need to begin to rejoice. And rejoice simply means, it's a Greek word for rejoice, yes, kairo. That means to be cheerful, to be calmly happy, or to be well off. And then there's also the Hebrew, it talks about samach, which is to brighten up, to be glad, or to be merry, be cheerful, be joyful. And the thing about rejoicing, we need that joy, like the brother said earlier, we need to have that joy. We need to possess that joy. And if we possess, and one way to possess that joy is to really begin to first accept Christ as Savior and begin to believe on Him and to follow Him and trust in God, and also begin to trust in what He's already said. Because if He said He's going to do it, He is going to do it. But along the way, what happens is God has to take us through certain places, whether it be high places or low places or dry places, to show us what is within us. God has to shape and make and mold us, as He said, and what scripture, how it pleased Him to bruise His Son. So therefore, if it pleased God to bruise His Son, who are we that we should not be bruised in certain times? Who are we that we should not go through anything and it causes pain? Because when things are at a certain place and pain arrives in our life and we feel like we're crushed or we're broken, we got to remember that God is trying to give us something. Also, He's trying to take something away. And the Bible talks about how that He is not them of a broken heart. He saves such of a contrite spirit. And basically what He's doing in that, He's trying to allow us, He's trying to create a more intimate relationship with us so we can explore and we can experience deeper understanding and deeper intimacy with Him, and that our passion would just increase as we walk this walk with God. That we would just slowly learn to know that God is forever faithful, He's forever true. He will not allow us to be taken out before our time. And if we are taken out, it's only going to be when we reach that place and we have finished our course, except if we avoid the plan of God. So I just want to say to the listeners today, I just want you all to be encouraged, and just especially the believers, we need to begin to exemplify more joy, because as we look around, the times are getting darker. I mean, sin is running rampant. But one thing we can remember, Paul said this best. He says that when sin abounds, grace did much more abound. So the fight is already fixed. We already win. All we have to do is abide in God's grace to remain and continue to be that champion that God has called us to be. Because if God has never failed, then all we have to do is continue to rely on Him and trust Him. If He's never lost a battle, then who are we to worry about the battles that we face if He's fighting with us? If He be for us, who can be against us? So I just want you to know today that if you're facing anything, if you're allowing the cares of life to consume you, the things that like we talk about, fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence which appearing real. If you're allowing fear to begin to grip your heart, remember it's only an illusion, because as the psalmist wrote, as David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So we must remember that even when we're in those low places or in the depths of the sea, how the Lord said in that scripture, how He talked about how He was going to the Lord, and we will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. God said He's about to bring them from the low places, from the deep places, the places where they've been swallowed up. So if we feel like we've been consumed by situations, whether it be marital issues, financial issues, being rejected, being cast out for whatever the case may be, depression, whatever the case may be, whatever the enemy is trying to bombard you with, remember, God has the power and the authority and the ability to bring you out. But you must trust in Him and forsake all other things. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to listen to us today to rejoice. Jesus says this one thing, too. He says to rejoice and to be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And He's simply talking about when people shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. You're not to get mad. You're not to draw back, because there's also the scripture talks about, well, in the day of adversity, if we draw back, then our strength is small. So also when we go through certain things, God is allowing us to see what is in us. We may be professing that we're strong in an area, but when God allows us to be tested, what happens is if we draw back, then He's showing us that your strength still need more strength. You need to be strengthened in this area because you continue to draw back instead of standing on my word and waiting to see the salvation of the Lord. So as we go through things and as we experience this, I want you to begin to search out yourself and see the things that you're confronting. God permits things to come before you, and that you're confronted with tests and trials. to see how you respond, whether you retreat or whether you stand and wait to see the salvation of the Lord. And if you're retreating, there's some more strengthening that needs to take place in those areas. But don't lose heart because that be a little curse, because God said, He said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even until the end of time. So therefore, guess what? Just because you're in that place right now, that doesn't mean like a few months from now you'll continue to be in that same place. Remember, the Lord is there with you. And the Lord is the solution and the answer to everything that you will ever face in life. So all you have to do is begin to rest, trust in His word. How He says, to come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. And He says, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So sometimes when we fall back or we fall short, it's because we don't have the knowledge of God's word or the understanding, or we're just ignorant of because we're not studying the word or we're not believing what we've studied. So the thing about it is we must begin, remember, to always study to show yourself approved unto God. All right? A work will not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember to study to show yourself approved unto God. And when God sees fit that you are certain approved, what happens is God will allow you to be tested. So when those tests come, and you say that you want to go from one faith to the next, you must remember you have to withstand and pass the test. And if you don't pass the test, remember, you have to take that test again. So I just want to encourage the listeners today to always make this your priority, make this your business daily to walk with God, because He daily loads us with benefits. Amen? Be encouraged. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hoover. I like what you said. The Lord is a solution for everything, for every problem, for everything that we go through. The Lord God is our solution. And the word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. And He said that He will direct our path. So it tells us today that we must totally surrender everything, all things unto God. For He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He lets us know we're not to put the confidence in man, but we need to put our confidence and our trust in God through everything that we go through. What an awesome discussion about rejoicing in God's salvation, rejoicing in Him. Always rejoice. Don't just rejoice, but just that on the outside. We got to rejoice on the inside. And I believe that that someone has mentioned that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy, he is a joy stealer. But yet God is able to put that in. You're able through the Spirit of the Lord, through trusting in God, that I in having faith in God, to know that God won't leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you may be going through, what it may have been on yesterday. It may have been 2 years ago. But whatever it is, whatever you may be going through even now, that we need to trust in the Lord. We need to put all our confidence and our faith in Him and rejoice in God's salvation. Rejoice that God saved us. And if you're not saved, you need to give your life unto God. So let God come in. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm telling you that when we stand on the word of God, God will, the Bible say, ask and it shall be given. We can ask God to give us what we need, because God, He will supply all our needs. And it's not just when most times people, when that scripture is read or quoted, you know, a lot of times people think about materialistic things, but they think about the food and clothes. Yes, He will supply the food. Yes, He will supply that, because David said, I was young, but now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And yes, He will clothe you as well. He'll clothe you, not only on the natural and the natural realm, but he'll clothe your mind and your soul and your spirit, and he'll give you what you need for the very hour, for that very minute, for that very moment that you need in your life, whatever it may be. You may have received a bad report. God, he is. I'm here to proclaim that God is God. He is a God of your salvation, and we must continually to rejoice in the Lord. At this time, we're getting ready we would like to go back to Reverend Tony Smith, and we would like to ask him to give us his insight on this reflection. And it says, do you focus? Think about this radio audience. Reverend Smith is going to answer this, but we want you to think about this. Do you focus more on your temporal or eternal matters when you are giving thanks to the Lord for his blessing? Do you focus more on the temporal things or eternal matters when you're giving God thanks to the glory by his glorious blessing in our lives? Reverend Smith.
Amen. Do I focus more on the temporal or the eternal things when I'm giving God thanks for the matter? Well, you know, to be honest, when I pray, at times when I pray, because this is what I've learned, when I pray, I actually go to God with things of the natural. Amen. Things that I need done, things that concern in my heart, the bills, my sons, and et cetera. So when I go to God, I think of what Paul said. Paul said it best. He said, listen, I set in my heart on things that are temporal, but things that are eternal. So when I go to God, I go to him with temporary situations, but with eternal hand. So I focus on the face of God, not the hand of God, the things that I can get out of him, but the relationship part of it. And like the pastor just spoke, and it blessed my heart when he said it, he said it's that relationship that we establish. So I've learned that when I come to God through the relationship that I have established with him, it urges me and it pushes me to a place to just trust God beyond what I can see at that time. So my encouraging words to my brothers and sisters out there, at times, you know, God knows the pull and the tug at our heart. He knows the desires that we have when we actually come before him. But the thing that gives me the push the most, I have to understand that God is, I don't allow the problem to become greater than the promise. So that's my words to you, Dr. McCoy.
All right. Thank you so much again, Reverend Smith, Tony Smith. We thank you for that comment. At this time, we're getting ready to go to the next segment, which is Rejoice in God's Power. Rejoice in God's Power. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast Evangelist Jerzine Spencer. Welcome to Breakthrough.
Praise the Lord. Breakthrough Broadcast and to Dr. McCoy. Amen. And I'm going to be speaking on Rejoice. Excuse me, in God's Power. And I'll be doing verses 28 through 31, and that's Psalm 68. And I'll be reading that from the, King James Version. And it says, Thou, God, hast commanded thy strength, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Verse 31, princes shall come out of Egypt, Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now looking at here, and when it's saying rejoice in God's power, here we see that, amen, David was very confident in the power of his God, and it's clearly evident in how, in other words, the Lord showed his might both to Israel and the surrounding nations. And when David began to rejoice, and he was rejoicing in God's power, he was rejoicing not only for the past deliverances and the present blessing, but it also inspired David to appeal to the Lord for a continued demonstration of his power. So when we are rejoicing unto the Lord, we are rejoicing, you know, for his past, what he's done for us in the past, and we are rejoicing for the present, but we are also rejoicing for it be a continual flow. Because in that part of rejoicing, that means you keep on doing it over and over and over. And I like, amen, here how David, in other words, he was very confident. He knew that what the Lord had said and what the Lord had did for those, the Israelites, when they were delivered out of Egypt, how he said that he would be their rear guard, and how the Word of God tells us that, you know, vengeance is his. And here in the beginning of Psalm 68, David spoke, he said, arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. And in other words, let your enemies be scattered and those that hate you flee. So in other words, David knew that, in other words, if he had who were his enemies were also enemies of God, because they were not after him personally, but they were after God, and how, in other words, they were coming against God, and he knew that God would take care of his enemies. He was very confident. And that's what, you know, the Lord is saying to us today. You know, there are going to be times that, amen, that God is going to allow us to be tested. And in that testing, are we going to, in other words, go in when we get delivered up before council and get delivered up for something that you have been said that you've done, or you said, or you've been lied on, or told that you did something, and you know that you did not do it? And are you going to, in other words, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? And here I like to, because here God would, David saw too that envision a day when the envoys would come from afar and submit themselves to God's authority. And the Word of God, it says that every knee shall bow above the earth and below the earth, that, amen, Jesus is Lord. So every knee is going to bow unto the Lord, whether it be above the earth or beneath the earth. And God is going to show his authority. God, and he wants us to, amen, to continue to develop our relationship with him, to continue to seek him, to continue to fast and to pray, and to continue to give him the glory and to give him the praise that's due unto him. For it, we know that it is only him that can deliver us. It is only him that can, amen, when we are being accused, that can vindicate us, that can, in other words, bring forth justice for us, and he will do it. And I'm very, you know, confident that God will do it, because there have been circumstances and situations where things have arose, and I can say recently, about 3-4 months ago, where I had to go before, in other words, the council of my peers, and how, in other words, they tried to tell me what my intentions were, and the Lord told me to just be quiet and don't walk out of the meeting, but just be quiet and just sit there. And there was all kind of things that were being said against my character and everything, but I was trusting in the Lord, and I heard his voice, and I was going to be obedient to what he said, and to God be the glory. And after it was all said and done with, within 3 days, God manifested his power. He manifested, he showed his justice. He showed, in other words, what was said and what was done was not of him, and how they attacked you know, me and stuff, and I give God the praise and the glory, because in that, when you're in that room and in that mist, and, you know, and God has told you to be quiet, and, you know, all kind of things are coming against your character, the only thing I could do was sit there and just, in my spirit, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And God did vindicate me. God did, amen, hallelujah, in other words, show within 3 days. Within 3 days, he exposed the enemies, he exposed the lies, he exposed everything. And I was like, Lord, I thank you. And I didn't boast about it. I didn't go back and say anything to the people. Those same people that sat in there and accused, within those 3 days, they came, in other words, in so many words, in their way of apology and stuff. And, you know, and I know that God will vindicate us. And so, and that's the reason why we are to rejoice, because we rejoice for the past deliverance, we rejoice about the present blessings, and we rejoice for a continued demonstration of his power. And as long as we continue to keep him first and to continue to seek him, he will do that. He will show his power. He will show his power. And I was reading this morning how in Job chapter 16 in verse 19, and Job said, amen. Job said here, he said, amen. Also, now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. And amen. And God gave me confidence this morning, amen, about another situation. He said, amen. He said, now, who, in other words, amen, who is your witness? Where is your witness at? He said, your witness is in heaven. So he said, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And I said, thank you, Lord. And he showed here, he said, and your record is on high. And when we look at that, in other words, Jesus is our intercessor. He's standing there interceding on our behalf. Amen. So just know, amen, radio broadcast, and amen, people today, that, amen, make sure that you have a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship, amen, today, start today with a relationship. Give your life unto the Lord. Start today. Amen. So that you can have that relationship, amen, and that you can be able to rejoice in the power of God, amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Spencer. How awesome, as always, of God's revelation and God's expression of his love as he gives it to you to give to the people and to share with his people. So I thank God that you were letting us know, even as David, he had confidence in God. David, yes, he was a bold man of God. And yes, he was a warrior. But yet he had the confidence, the true confidence that he had. It certainly came not from himself, but it came from God. You know, I go back and I think about even when he was going against Goliath, and how God gave him victory. When all the men in army, when they were coming up, you know, with their armors and all the things that they had, and how they was trying to, the strategy to kill Goliath. But yet David, because of his love for God, because he even been a youth, because he wasn't even mature in the way that they may have thought that he was. And even they made fun at him. But yet he did not let that be a part of his focus. Even his own brothers came against him. But yet God had already strategized him and energized him. And God stood up in him. And I like when he had told the part of Saul's army, and let him know, he was speaking already in his mind what he was going to do to that giant, what he was going to do to Goliath. He had a plan, and our plan should be the plan of God. And the things that we do, it should all come from God. And things sometimes may seem so simple. It may seem so simple in order to get the victory. And some people may even bypass it. Some people won't even consider it. But yet, because he trusted in God, I don't believe that he's trusted in those five stones that he had. I don't believe that that was in his trust and his confidence, but I just believe that he had that confidence in God. And my question is today, where is your confidence? Where is your faith in God? But he is able to fight every battle. And in the word, let us know the battle does not belong to us. As Evangelist Spencer says, that God will vindicate us. She said she had to wait 3 days. It didn't come the same day. It didn't come the second day. But she had to wait, even when her peer was saying things against her character and putting down some of even the having her to in her heart and her mind. And know, when you have a character and you know when you're trying to get your light shining and people come against, she had to stand with God. Just told her just to be still. You know, that Psalm 46 and 10 tell us to be still. We just have to be still and just wait on the Lord. And I'm quite sure a lot of times, if we don't watch it, the flesh will rise up. But if we have that faith and confidence, and that's why many times that we, the Bible says for us to study and show thyself approved to God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to write and abide the word of truth. See, we need truth, because truth is what we stand on. Truth will make us free. Truth will deliver us from every evil, from every wicked work. Truth will bring us out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. Yes, the truth of God. So we have to put God first. And even though Evangelist Spencer had to wait, and I'm quite sure it was a testing time for her, but she knew that God was going to deliver her. And so I just marvel and I just thank God that she stood on the word of God. What a word of God. What God has said today, I mean, it's just a blessing for the people. It's a blessing for you and our radio audience out wherever you may be, whatever city or whatever state that you may be living in, or you may be listening to this broadcast. Always know that God, he will vindicate. God, you need to have the confidence in God. You need to know who God is in our lives. It could be a possibility that we don't know who God is in our lives. It could be a possibility we don't fully trust him that to do what needs to be done. So, but when we can stand even against, you know, all the pressures and all the things of life, we need to know that God is yet on the throne. And again, the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. So we're getting ready to go to hear from Pastor from Texas, Francina Shanks, and we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome her to the Breakthrough Broadcast. She's going to be coming and commenting from Psalm 68, and she will let the Lord use her to speak to his people today. Welcome, Pastor Shanks.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I give God the honor and the glory, and I thank you for inviting me to the broadcast to be on the panel. And I was just so blessed with all the pastors and evangelists and Helen Watson, she's an evangelist too, and more, for speaking today. And you too, Dr. McCoy, the things that God brought out of each one of your mouth, I give God the honor and the glory. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. Hallelujah, in this day and time. I'm coming from Psalm 68, verse 32. Sing to God. I'm speaking from the NIV version of the King James Version of the Bible. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. That was verse 33. And it says Selah. And that word Selah in the original Hebrew means to pause or wait. Verse 34, ascribe strength to God. That word ascribe means to consider as belonging to. In other words, David was saying, consider that strength belongs to God. You see, the writers that interpret the scripture out of the original Hebrew and Greek, they had to find a word that would fit in the English language. And so ascribe is an old archaic word that they used. His excellence is over Israel. Glory, hallelujah. And his strength is in the clouds. Verse 35. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. I just thank God, the God of Israel, who is our God. Because of the covenant God made with Israel, his covenant of people, we, the Gentile believers, we were grafted into that olive tree. And so you Bible scholars, you know that, you pastors, you know that out there that are listening. Glory be to God. I just thank God for his mighty power. Because the scripture says in Acts chapter 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. My God, that's an awesome word there to me. And David knew that. David said in 2 Samuel 22 and 33, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. My God, that's awesome to me, to know that once we see the power of the Holy Ghost. My God. You know, God is such a good God, and we have to just have that relationship with him so that he can manifest himself to us so we can show who he is to the world. That's the only way that they're going to see God is in us, his people, my God. And God wants us to be witnesses of him in everywhere we go. Hallelujah. On our job, in the workplaces, in our home, praise God. We got to show people that God is real and that he's alive, and we got to stand on his word. Isaiah 40:29 says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Isn't that awesome? My God, I heard a song say, let the weak say I am strong. My God, God is so good. He's awesome. Well, you see, David knew that. He was convinced that only God's power and fame were worth celebrating because only his rule was just. He knew that all other powers would bring injustice and suffering. You see, I know that for myself. I have my own testimony and experience with God that he will show up like the song say, if you just trust him and wait on him. Hallelujah. I'm a witness that he will, my God. And I have an experience with the Lord where I was teaching pre-K for many years in Houston, Texas, and letting my light shine in that dark place, because wherever light shows up, darkness got to go. God gave me a demonstration of that, showing me how. So you see, when you cut on that light, this room is dark, but when you cut on the light, light comes in. That's how we are as the people of God. Jesus said we are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill. So whenever we show up, hallelujah, that light, where darkness is, the light is going to show up. It's going to overpower that darkness. But we got to walk in love, L-O-V-E. The Bible says, that once the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you shall receive power. It also says that the love of God has been put in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So faith works by love. We cannot walk in faith unless we're walking in love. We as the people of God have to walk in love. So faith works by love. Those two go together. Praise God. And I just want to say in my own experience, they talked about me and spoke against my character. they lied on me, said I did something to a child, that I closed a child up in a closet. But I knew that was not the case. And so they suspended me. And so through all that, I went on and filed for my unemployment. And they fought against me. They didn't want me to get my unemployment. But I repealed that. And so on the day that I was supposed to talk with the board about my unemployment and the accusation that they made against me, they never called. I was the only one there with that person. And my accuser did not even call. So God gave me favor because he had told me he was going to bring me out. He told me he was going to bring me off that job anyway. But I got so impatient. I was trying to hurry God. But I have learned, and as many of you have learned, you can't hurry God. You have to patiently wait on him. And he vindicated me from the accusations and brought me out and blessed me with my unemployment, praise God. And I was unemployed for 2 years, and I was prophesied to by my friend, Minister Teresa Hawkins, that I was going to, God said, you're going to get your unemployment for 2 years, and you're not going to work for 2 years. And God brought all of that to pass. You see, God is a great God, and all we have to do is do what he say. He said, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. We're supposed to bless our enemies, those that accuse us. And you have, you know, those same people I went back and told them I was doing good and I love you because I kept on praying for them. I wanted to see their salvation. I wanted to see them saved and walking with the Lord. And this is what we got to do, peoples of God. This is what we got to do. And this is what David learned to do. He knew about the power of God. He knew God would vindicate him from his enemies, just like he led Saul into his hands. Many times when King Saul was sleeping in that cave, David went in that cave. He took Saul's sword. He could have killed him, but he didn't. He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointing. That's what he said. And so David had the sure mercies of God in his heart because he blessed his enemies. When his son Absalom came up against him, even though David called all this stuff to come up on himself because how he had went in and laid with Bathsheba, another man's wife, and had her killed, God sent the prophet Nathan to him to reveal to him what he had did, and David repented. But the Lord told David, thought God was going to kill him, and the prophet said, no, he's not going to kill you, but you're going to have trouble in your home, and you're not going to rest from the sword. See, God had given him rest from the sword, but because of what he did, he didn't have no more rest from the sword, and he had trouble in his house. But David still loved his son, even though his son Absalom was coming up against him. So David knew about God's power, and he knew about also about the mercies of God. Praise God. And we as God people, we have to get in that relationship with him so that he can show us his power, but most of all his love, and whatever he says in his word, and we stand on it, God will do it. He will fulfill his promise. He's not a God that he shall lie, the Bible say. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. But what are you seeking God for? Me, myself, when I pray, I just thank him. I start off with the Abba Father prayer and just thank him. That's what I do. I thank him for his love. I thank him for his salvation. I thank him for his goodness and his kindness. And then after that, when I get through worshiping him and glorifying him, then I begin to pray for others. Then I pray for my children and my family members. Praise God. But I don't ask God to do this and give me a car, this or that. I just thank him for what his goodness let me live to see another day. And he's told me many times, why are you worrying about what you're going to eat? He brings that scripture to me from Matthew 5. Don't I feed the birds of the air? You're much more better than birds. But why are you going to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on? So I just thank God for his goodness. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his power. His power is in his word. He is in his word and believing what he say. And remember, we as his people have to walk in love. And I just, before I give it back over to Dr. McCoy, I want to say this. I want to say to the peoples of God that we are to embrace those people out there that are lost. There's so many people out there that are lost. They're bound by alcohol, drugs, prostitution, and some of us, God has brought us out of that very lifestyle. Some of us never did those things. But we all have to come to the cross, to the feet of Jesus. For the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord in heaven and in earth. And so I just want to say to the peoples of God, we got to open up our arms to these people that are lost, these people that are bound, they're confused, they're depressed, they're bound by anxiety and depression. And we got to show them the love of God that's in us. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. And so we got to reach out to those people, let them know who God is. We can't be like the world, but some of us in the church world are saying things that we shouldn't say. We got to check ourselves. But God got some people that are doing what his word say. They're not just hearing the word, they're doers of the word. They're loving, they're walking in love, the fruits of the Spirit are manifesting out of him. But then on the other hand, there's some of us in the church world that are not doing that. We're very critical, that are very criticizing. We're not walking in the fruits of the Spirit. So I want to say to you, like the Lord told me, don't judge nothing before the time. And I ask you today to lift up Sister Houston, Whitney Houston's mother. She is a woman of God. I ask y'all to join. Some of y'all are already praying for her. I ask you to continue to pray for her and her granddaughter, Bobby Christina. And those of you that are not, that's pointing a finger, talking about Whitney this and Whitney wasn't that, walking with Jesus. You don't know her heart. You didn't know her heart. You didn't know what she cried out to the Lord. I want to say to those critics, I heard this myself, those that are on the panel. The Lord told me don't judge nothing before the time. So you out there that are doing that, check yourself. God wants us to walk in love and embrace people. And pray for Bobby Brown. Pray for his salvation, that he would be saved, that God would bring him out of sin and darkness into your life. I have people in my family that were bound by drugs and alcohol. I never put them down. I prayed for them and interceded for them, that they would be saved, that God would bring them out. Because I know what God brought me out of, going to the club. I didn't go every night, but I went. I was in sin on my way to hell. I was mean. I had a prejudiced spirit in me against white people. I'm keeping it real today. And so you, as people of God, I'm just asking you to just reach out today and show that love. Those of you that are walking in love and showing love, continue. Those of you are not, that are pointing a finger, check yourself. And to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. And I will turn it back over to Dr. McCoy. Thank you so much, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for your comments on today. We thank God for using you to lift up the name of Jesus. Today we had the opportunity to talk about celebrate God's justice. And we thank God that the hearers, that we are hearers, and we will be doers of God's word. And even as you radio audience have listened to the panelists today, they came and they had given that which God has given them to give to you. And I just believe that there are many of you out there today that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I believe that there are many of you today that out there that are hurting, maybe of hurt. You may have expressed hurt, an inward type hurt. It may not be a physical, but you are going through some kind of hurt inside of you. You may have experienced some sickness in your body. The doctor may have given you a bad report, but I want you to know today, and even as Pastor Shanks was saying how she prayed unto God and how even when
maybe things don't look the way that she may want them to do. And many of us to say the same thing. You may not have that steak in the freezer, or you may not have that sirloin or whatever it may be, that New York steak or whatever it may be, but yet God, He is God. And as I said before, that He is able to supply your every need. And the same way He did for Elijah, He is able to use you and to do for you in the very same way. But whatever it is today, whatever you may be holding, or whatever the enemy have been steadily on your track, you may be falsely accused, whatever it may be. You may be a person that have had prejudices or may be prejudiced. But yet, I want you to know that God is able to forgive you for your sins. He is able to come into your heart. He is able to cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness. For the word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it doesn't matter, no matter what you may have done in your life, no matter what the lifestyle may have been. I believe I heard someone say, you may be a street walker, you may have been a prostitute, I don't care what it may have been. The word of God, that is of God, came to seek and to save them that are lost. And I want you to know today that we all was lost. We all did not know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We did not have that relationship with Him. We did not know the Father. But yet, God, with His love, His tender love that He has towards us, He will cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and He will remember it no more. You can become that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and all things become new. I want you to just get ready to let the Lord come into your heart. You may be driving down the street. You may have just tuned into this station, but wherever you are right now, know that this is the day for you to be saved. This is the day for you to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. This is a day for change. This is a day to know and experience the love of God. God is not accusing you of not one thing, but He wants to forgive you. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to make you your heart as pure as gold. He wants you to be pure in heart, because the word of God said only the pure in heart shall see Him. There's another song say there's a high way to heaven. No one goes up there but the pure in heart. So if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, we want to give you this opportunity today on Breakthrough to ask Him to come into your heart and to forgive you for your sin. If you're ready, I'm ready. Say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me free. Lord, I heard that You were cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And I heard You will remember it no more. And so, Lord, I need You to come into my heart. I need You, God, to save me. I need You, God, to touch my mind. I need You, God, to touch my heart. I need You, God, to make me whole. I need You, God, to make the difference in my life. God, I don't want to be the same. God, no more the same. So, Heavenly Father, touch me, God, even now. And, Lord, make me whole. If you have prayed that prayer with me today, and you believe in your heart that God has forgiven you for your sins, not just a few of them, but all of your sins, I want you to know that God has cast them to the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Why don't you just bow your head before the Most High God? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you. God, we magnify your name. God, we exalt you. God, we lift your name up high. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. God, realizing, God, that we were all sinners saved by grace. I ask thee, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, the touch, Lord God, your people. God, that boy, that girl, that man, that woman, God, that backslider, Lord God. Oh, God, that backbiter right now, Father God. God, that person, Lord God, that think they're worthless, Lord God. God, that person, Father, that doesn't have any confidence in themselves, Lord God. God, that person, Lord God, that oppressed and depressed, Lord God. Oh, Father, touch them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, forgive them, Father God, for their sins. God, even right now, and Lord, I just thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for casting every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remembering it no more. And Father, I thank you for healing bodies right now. Lord, I thank you, God, for touching your people. God, all over the state. God, in the cities. Lord, God, in the country. Oh, Father, God, bring healing, God, even now. God, touch them, Lord God, like never before. God, those, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that seem to be out there by themselves. Lord, those that seem to be motherless. God, those that seem, God, to be fathers. Lord, I ask thee, God, to touch them right now. I ask thee, God, to call, Father God, your mercy and your grace, God, to be upon their lives. Lord, even now, God, to touch them, Father God. Give them that blessed assurance, knowing, God, that you are God. God, that you are God all by yourself. Those, God, that have been given a bad report by the physician. Lord, I pray even now, God, healing, God, would be manifested, God, in their body. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, I bind all cancer. I bind, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, every infirmity of cancer. I bind that cancer right now into the very pits of hell. God, I bind, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, every work of the enemy. God, we're trying to touch the people's heart, Lord God. All pulmonary problems, all lung problems, all circulatory problems. Ekalabasaya. God, I bind right now, I cast into the therapists of hell. I pray healing, Lord God, that it be manifested, Lord God, even as we pray. God, all bladder infection. I pray even now that healing, God, will be manifested. Realizing, God, that there is nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, even now, Lord God, I ask you, Father God, to give your people that comfort. And God, give them, let them walk in that love and that blessed assurance of thee, Lord God. Oh, God, even they lie down, God, let it be peaceful. Lord, when they get up, Father God, let it be peaceful. God, let that trust, God, be in thee. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now for every healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that being manifested right now. Every healing that's being manifested, God, in the occipital area, God, in the temple area, Lord God, of the brain. God, Father God, in the parietal area of the brain, healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray your healing power touch even in the spine. God, all down the spine, we pray healing right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just praise you, Lord God, and we thank you, Father God, for your miraculous miracle working power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, for every soul that has been saved today, every life that has been changed, every body that has been healed by the mighty power of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord God, for healing. And, Father, even oppression and depression, we ask you, Lord, even now, God, to touch that person, Father God, that the enemy, Father God, has fighting and being oppressed and depressed in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for the breakthrough broadcast and all of its listeners in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. At this time, we would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our panelists that was with us on today. We would like to thank God for Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Miss Helen Watson, panelist Pastor Eric Hooper, Pastor Francina Shanks, and Reverend Tony Smith. We would like to thank them for being our guests here on the Breakthrough Broadcast. And we would like to say our opening song came from Miss Helen Watson. That song that she sang was Falling in Love with Jesus. It is the best thing that I've ever done. And it is the best thing that we all have ever done. So until next Saturday at 4 p.m., please take the opportunity to be a witness for the kingdom of God. Let someone know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let them know that Jesus will save and deliver and make them free. Let them know that God loved them, that God is in love with them, and that God wants to save them. Let them know that God is preparing a place for them, that he went away to prepare a place for them, and that they can be with him. And so you out there in our radio audience, let the love of God abide deep down in your soul. You show God's love. You be a doer of the word. You be a hearer of the word. And until next week, God bless you. Join us again at this time at 4 p.m. at the Breakthrough Broadcast. God bless you, and the love of God be upon you. Amen.